Hello and welcome to the Future Report. I think we should just get right into our topic. So we got AMD Strix Point. It is a new RDNA 3 Plus APU. It's going to be competing up with the RX 6400, which is pretty interesting because that's a pretty entry-level GPU at this point. It's just their main selling point is that it's very low power usage and it's a very high performance for what it is. We know that the RX 6400 isn't that great of a card, but it is entry level, and if you don't have to have a GPU at all in your system, that is a huge budget saver.
And it's also a size saver as well when you consider form factor.
Exactly, you don't have to have a GPU at all.
So if I were to get one of these, what would it come on? I'm assuming a Ryzen 5 and a Ryzen 3, probably?
I think it's a Ryzen 5. Let me check real quick. It didn't actually say that in Guru 3D.
Didn't mean to make you look like that. My fault.
Yeah, you're always trying to make me off.
Hey, listen, it's part of the name of the game, right?
It says nothing about what it comes on.
Doesn't Radeon usually do the same APU pretty much all the way through?
Yeah, pretty much.
So you might see it on everything.
So yeah, I've got this graphic that we'll put up on the YouTube. It's better than RTX 2050, which is, again, it's entry level. It's pretty old, but it is just under, it's like climbing up on the RTX 3050, which is new generation. So, well, it's not new, but it's current enough.
They're still selling it. So,
and like I said, the main selling point is the low power usage. This chip runs at a TDP of 22 to 24 watts.
It's not going to really do anything to your battery.
Yeah, it boasts a 3150 score in the 3D Mark TimeSpy benchmark. So it's pretty impressive.
Better than my old Threadripper, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I think it's amazing that what AMD has managed to do with their process node for these low power chips, because even just four short years ago, it was like if you were on your APU, you were on limp mode until your GPU came in, and now you have options. So it's an amazing.
Now you don't even have to think about a GPU for a little while.
Yeah, seriously. Unless you want to leave it out of the budget until.
There's actually two different versions of the Strix Point. There's the Strix Point 1, it's a monolithic design, and the Strix Point 2, which is a chiplet design. They both share the same architecture, but they are significantly different in terms of configuration. So it's pretty cool.
So are they reserving? Like, that makes me wonder if they're reserving
one. I don't know which one is which.
For,
probably doing. It's probably the chiplet design is probably going to be used in the Ryzen 9. I'm not sure what the configuration different is on them. The architecture. I know it's just the RDNA 3 Plus, but I don't know how that's going to. I don't know what the difference between Strix Point 1 and Strix Point 2 is besides the actual design of the chip itself.
They both pull the same power as according to the graph, though, right? And am I seeing that right? The one that's scoring 3150?
Yeah.
That's the monolithic, and then the one that's right below the 3050 is the chiplet. Is that right?
Oh, I didn't actually see that.
Yeah, they're both. Oh, there's a couple of Strix points on there. There's two, and then I assume Hawk Point is this last generation?
Well, yeah, it's the last generation. Strix Point, so let me see.
Because they're pulling the same amount of power, but one of them.
I actually overlooked that.
There's 16 compute units on the top one and then 12 on the bottom one.
Yeah,
so
I see that.
That's an interesting graph. It's still very impressive, though, that the fact that even that the smaller of the two can still just barely match a 6400 is really impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
Well, if you don't see it, we can move on.
Yeah, I don't see which one is which. It doesn't say.
It's unfortunate. Have these been released yet, or are these still speculation? Because we'll know when they come out for sure, but
you're asking me all these questions that I can't get answers to.
They're probably not out yet. Let me see. RDNA 3 Plus release date.
No, they're just revealing significant advancements.
Okay. So we'll, I guess we'll see then when they come out and we can actually see the scores for them.
There's a comment on here on Guru 3 on the post that says if those numbers end up being true, the mini PC arena is going to get even more interesting.
I mean, he's not, whoever that is, they're not wrong. Yeah. I mean, even just, like I've always said, whenever these things advance, handhelds, micro consoles, the average video encoding home PC, the Plex server, huge boost for these kinds of things.
Oh, yeah.
It's great. On a same topic of mini PCs, kind of a similar concept here where you have power efficiency, compactness, we have new motherboards now from MSI.
All right.
So there's two of them. There's a B760M. And a B650M. They're under a product line called Project Zero. And the objective is kind of similar to the name Zero Cable Showing.
Is this an AM5 board?
Both. So they it says the B650 is AM5. The B760M is LGA 1700. So
that makes sense. It's staying with the names.
It's a little tiny bit behind, I guess, because Intel's going to be releasing a new socket this year with the 15th gen or Core Ultra, whatever they're going to call it. Still, I'm not up to speed on that. I kind of probably should go learn the new naming. Yeah, the new naming scheme. Anyway, the support for these is up to DDR5 7800 megahertz and above with time. So I assume that that implies that there will be BIOS updates later to improve that.
Yeah.
They will both support 2.5 gigabit Ethernet. And then obviously along with that, Wi-Fi 6E, that's just bog standard. And then it's going to have PCIe 6 and 5 support.
Okay.
And then they're How only asking 229. So this is one of the rare scenarios, and the reason that I found this super interesting.
Is there M.2 support? Is there like multiple M.2s? Yes.
So if you can see the second picture, same thing. That'll be on the YouTube for all of you to see. There's, I believe, three on this, and it's a micro ATX board. I can double check that, but I believe it's three. But the thing that's important in this matter is it's one of the few scenarios, I guess, where a company releases something that's kind of a specialty product, but then doesn't price it super unfairly. $229 for something like this is really not half bad. And if you look at the I/O, which I don't really have a picture of this, but even for a micro ATX, it has I/O very similar to the older like Tomahawk boards where there's just a lot to work with, which is really a breath of fresh air because I'm so tired of seeing boards that
does
cost.
Does it have USB, USB 3.2 on it?
It has 3.1 for sure. 3.2, I'm not sure. I'll have to look again because I was only the only specs that are around available to see right now are the ones that I have listed.
Okay.
So yeah, on the April 19th, we can pull up a listing and I'll get that information. But as of right now, I don't know. But yeah, so they also have a custom case that was revealed last year for these. So it has a bigger depression.
A custom case for these?
For motherboards in the future that'll have this array. And the idea is that you'll have a bigger depression behind the motherboard. And the motherboard will be lifted a little further away from the back of the case. And then all of your major cables will fit into that depression so that they all have space.
The cables come out the back.
All of them come out the back. That's the big selling point for these.
So, I don't know if I like that. I mean,
if you look up the board, so if I'll actually pull up a build of this and I'll actually copy this image over.
That's going to be super clean.
There's already two builds that were made on YouTube with this build. And one of them, it's on PC World. Here it is. And this will be obviously up for all of you guys to see. But the major thing about this build is that when it's configured correctly, the only cables you can see are either off the fan, if there is one that has a cable, like the CPU main fan, and the GPU. And there's actually a graphics card that was released last year. I believe it was a 4070 or a 4080. I don't remember which, but it had the power connector on the bottom of the graphics card going right down directly into a spot on the motherboard where it could be routed discreetly. So the entire thing looked like it was kind of bolted together and then left as is with no cables.
That's crazy.
So this is going to be one of those things where people can actually have the option to make builds that look this aesthetic, but you're not going to end up paying
a ridiculous
premium. If you scroll down on the Google Doc, I put the image there for you to look at. So you can kind of see. It's not even the best example of what you could do with it, but you can already kind of see.
Oh, yeah, there's the cable off the CPU block and then the
GPU. Yep. But this is because I believe when that article was written, there weren't other parts available yet, just the motherboard. So in this scenario, if you were to rebuild this now, if you used something more like a...
This motherboard's still not available though, right?
I believe it comes out in a few days. So these ones...
Yeah, but
ones,
it's not like available though.
I guess they released production samples, I believe is what they did. But for all of us to get it, for any of us to get our hands on it, it'll be after April 19th.
Okay.
So that's when it comes out. So I'm excited. Personally, I'm excited because I enjoy my cable management. You know, I'm a little obsessive with cable management and we both spend a lot of time working on our cable management. But this is one of those things where for a new builder, you could theoretically not have to be as meticulous. You could be a little bit more set it and forget it. And then if you do choose to go back to it, you can, but you don't necessarily have to feel the weight of seeing it through the front as much.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I just feel like that would be a pain. Like, do you have to pull off your whole motherboard if you want to add another drive or something?
So the PCIe stuff is still on the front. As far as I know, the M.2s are all still on the front. So...
Well, yeah,
taking everything apart
but
should be the same.
Like just drives and SSDs and stuff.
Yeah, so you will have to be a little bit more proactive with pre-routing cables. But on the same, to the same point, because it's all on the back, you could pre-route them and it won't, you won't see them. So it kind of goes both ways. If you have all those extra cables that we normally leave out until and then provide them in the box or something, someone using a board like this could have all of them plugged in. And it wouldn't be an issue because you'll never even see them connected. So, I mean, it's an interesting concept and it's finally a new thing in the PC world, I think, that isn't just different.
A gimmick.
It's not a gimmick. Like, I think there's practicality here. I like it. So, that's kind of my opinion on it. I think it's good just as long as the pricing stays kind of where it's at right now, where it's not completely unfair. I'm pretty happy with it. So, it's all there is for Project Zero right now. All
right. Excuse me. So, next up we have Microsoft ads. I got this off the Verge. Microsoft is testing ads on Windows 11, which is not cool. They're currently testing this out in the Windows Insider version of Windows 11, so we won't be experiencing this yet. The ad section will be replacing the section in the start menu. You know, the section that has like the recommendations for the Microsoft Store and stuff.
The part that has all the shortcuts when you install the operating system that aren't actually apps. They're just there from the Microsoft Store. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That.
What an awful section.
Well, they're going to be replacing that with ads. Thankfully, you can turn this menu off in the Windows settings, but it will be enabled by default.
Condolences to all of the people who signed up for the Insider Edition and for all of the future old people who will never know how to turn that off.
I barely ever use the startup menu anyway, so, or the quick menu, whatever you want to call it, the startup menu.
The most I'll use is the search. That's about it.
I pretty much use the search rarely, but that's...
Yeah, you're a shortcut guy. You're a desktop shortcut
guy. I'm a desktop shortcut person. They are looking for feedback, like it's written that they're looking for feedback on it, and if they are gonna take feedback of people, then there's a chance they won't be implementing it on the mainstream version of the Windows 11.
So, can you explain to me what an ad will look like in the start menu? I know they provided
a
picture.
There's no pictures.
No pictures.
Nope. There's nothing that shows us what it will look like. It will just be replacing the menu where the Microsoft store suggestions.
Get the Windows key and you get a Raid Shadow Legends boss on your start menu.
We
paid $110 for this, ladies and gentlemen. It's incredible. So what do you think? I'll just say this then. So the direction of Windows 11 has gone from originally being a clean slate, like improvement to Windows 10. And it's quickly and drastically becoming
There was always things that kind of gave it like a step down from Windows 10. It's never been perfect, and I don't think it ever will be. They're already working on Windows 12, I believe. Yeah. So there's no good news. It's going to be like the Windows 7, or the, excuse me, Windows 8. It's just here and then gone real quick.
Yeah. I don't anticipate many people are going to stay on Windows 11.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think people are either going to go back to Windows 10 or go to Windows 12, which is kind of what happened with 8. So
if they're on an every other release basis.
Yeah, they really are. Because hopefully, Windows 7 was amazing, and then Windows 8 was just like the worst.
And Windows 7 preceded, or was it preceded, or it followed after Vista, and Vista was known to be very incompatible and not fun to work with.
Yeah.
So I guess if Windows is to be, if it's expected that they're going to be on the same release schedule they've been on for the last 20 odd years, then I guess Windows 12 is hopefully going to be better.
Yeah, I hope so.
I'll say this about Windows 11 myself. My gripe with it has always been that they always, for some reason, they've followed the same trends that a lot of apps and major programs have followed, where instead of listening to the user feedback from your power users, the people who are forced to use your program constantly and find the major, like the small productivity issues with it and actually fix those, they try to add features that do or don't make sense. Like the Copilot, which from my experience is completely useless.
Just for your information, I still have not gotten that update.
I don't know what to tell you. For me, it's been a preview, not a full feature. Okay. A test for 6.5 months. I don't know why I have it. I've opened it once and it opens an Edge tab, essentially, that just kind of sticks to my monitor. Nice. It doesn't even open the app itself. It just opens a Bing tab and inputs my search and then tries to create a solution.
So kind of like on a side note about Windows 12, I believe I got some word that Windows 12 was going to be a subscription service.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't buy it once. It's going to be more like an Adobe thing. And you're going to have to just pay a subscription for the rest of the time you use it, which is like so annoying.
May SD, or what is it? SCD keys?
Yeah.
May SCD keys save us. May they provide us with a $100 key for one-time usage for Windows 12.
Yeah. But I don't know if
we need to get sponsored by them. That'd be really fun.
Yeah, that would. But as far as we know right now, they're just looking for insight on their changes. They just want to see if people like the ads, which who would like ads in their startup menu?
If Windows was a free operating system, like a genuinely free operating system, and then they were trying to sell you on Office and maybe a couple of enhancements, then them having a couple of ads that just kind of are a little bit of a visual pain isn't a gripe with me.
Even, like, ads aren't usually a visual pain. Like, what they have. Because they've got, like, their own ads, where it's like the Microsoft Store, and they want you to get Solitaire and Spotify and those things. That's fine. Like, that doesn't bother me at all. You've got to sell your own stuff. That's how you make money.
My thing is, if it was free and they had a paid option that we were actively not using and they were pushing us ads to sell a product, I'm completely on board with that.
Yeah.
Because we do business, I would do the same thing.
Yep.
Because you can't have a business like a free model that doesn't generate revenue from a paid model. And if you have a paid model that doesn't sell, it's not profitable at all.
Weird question for you.
Okay, go ahead.
Have you ever bought anything from the Microsoft Store?
Never in my life. No, I lied. I lied.
I bought one thing.
Forza 4.
Exactly.
Forza 4.
I bought Forza Horizon.
My man. Forza being literally the only thing I've ever bought from there. Otherwise, I use it for a couple of tools that are free.
And that was the biggest pain ever. If you ever need to reinstall that, it's such a pain.
My experience is it just takes an incredibly long time.
Well, it takes a long time, but also if you've got more than one Microsoft account,
God forbid,
the worst. There's like 7 billion different versions of it because they've got like the project version and the like all the different car kits you can buy with it. It's so much of a pain, and you can never find the one that you actually purchased, because if you didn't purchase the regular one, then you're going to be clicking through every single one of them. And I don't know, it took me forever to get that thing back on my computer.
It's funny because that's part of the reason why I don't play it right now, is because since I got Forza a year and a half ago, I've had to reinstall twice to fix my computer because Windows just kind of doesn't really do a good job of staying alive while I'm working on it. Maybe that's a user error. I don't believe it is. I don't do anything out of the ordinary on it normally. I just kind of video edit and play games. But it just kind of runs into instability. in that the reason I don't play Forza is because I just don't want to reinstall it. Steam will get reinstalled. Everything will get reinstalled. Microsoft Store, no, I'm good.
Microsoft Store can stay.
You can get get Microsoft Power Toys from the Microsoft Store.
Mm.
Pro tip for anybody who's a power user: get Power Toys. Just get it. Get it. If you don't like it, remove it. But at least get it once. All
right, let's get back on topic.
Here. Okay. What was the next topic? Okay. So we have a couple of additions here that aren't really long enough to make a full topic. So we'll just kind of go through these kind of rapid fire. So the first one is Google decides, as per usual with Google, to axe yet another one of their services.
As per
Apple usually.
Yeah.
I get it. I atoned for my sin. So they axed another service, Google One. And if you don't know what that was, it was launched in October 2020. With the goal of being a go-to security layer VPN for Android phones. The major things that Google was trying to tackle with this program was that they wanted it to be open source, so anybody could see what it was actually doing on your computer for transparency reasons. And then they were also trying to make it affordable. So they started it at around $9.99 a month. Eventually, they dropped it to $2.99 a month, which is a drastic drop in price. Yeah. Indicating there wasn't a lot of interest, and interest never took off. So they have not made it public when they're going to actually go through and terminate the process and move people to other providers. But that is inevitably what's going to happen.
Yeah.
This is something similar to
what happened with Google Chat. They've had
Chat Plus for years. They've had like six or seven different chats that have all died. But the one that this reminded me the most of was Google Domains. Because that's exactly what they're doing. We have a Google domain, and what they're going to do is basically we get forked over to Squarespace. They'll handle all of our transactions and our subscription to the domain yearly. Mm-hmm. And then Google domains will just go down. So that's Google for you.
Yeah.
As always.
All right. So we've got Adobe. Adobe is buying videos from users at a rate of $3 per minute. So that's pretty insane. The videos will be used to build up their text-to-video AI model. They want videos of people interacting with objects, and they're trying to compete with OpenAI's video AI software, which will be interesting to see.
They're late. They're about a year and 3 months late.
So not only are they late, but it's Adobe, and Adobe is kind of one of those things where they try something new and it doesn't work out too well. So $3 per minute could literally make them go bankrupt.
$3 a minute's income for me. So I guess I'll just send them videos of me sliding my circle bottle around a bunch and they'll figure it out from there.
Watch me, video me take a sip.
There you go. I'm going to do the same.
But that'll be interesting to see some of the outcome of that. I'm genuinely interested to see what they come up with when it comes to actually implementing the AI software. I want to see how their software suite will look.
So I got a video on Discord sent to me by a friend, and it showcased Sora AI. Same idea, where it's like they asked for a video of something, like a beach or like a panning shot of a landscape. And the realism that thing can output is ridiculous. It's out of this world. So
yeah, I want to see some of that stuff.
Adobe coming in this late is going to be really interesting to see if they can even pull it off.
Yep.
They already have features in Photoshop, by the way, for text to image. So they have experience, but we'll have to see. The next one up is Apple. So there's been a lot of shade being thrown at Apple the last 2 years now for their kind of monopolistic practice here, especially here in the States. So this is continuing. UK is just going all out on them. And they just lost a bid to throw out the UK lawsuit that is worth almost $1 billion. So they're still in hot water for sure. And the reason is because, the case itself alleges that Apple charged third-party developers unfair commissions on the App Store. And this is something that I've actually talked about. It's one of the reasons why every program I've ever made doesn't have a Mac version.
Yeah.
I'm not going to deal with that. But what they're saying is it's unfair commissions up to 30% on purchases in the App Store or other content. And one of the things with that is, well, I mean, the biggest example of a company pulling away from the App Store was Epic with Fortnite.
Oh, where yeah.
Apple just completely took them down the second that there was transactions being done externally. So thoughts on that briefly before we move on. I'll go first, I guess.
Yeah.
Good. Make them move
the goalpost a bit. You are really throwing Apple around. I'm really happy because Apple just does their own thing, and they need to be held liable for some of like the egregious actions they've done. Charging commission for apps is fine. You've got to keep your servers running. You can't just do it for free. Mm-hmm. But when you charge like 30% of a creator's income, you know how many studios can't function on that? Like, that's the 30% that they needed to give to an employee that was creating the next thing.
And even for small studios that can operate under such tight like restriction, the apps they make kind of suck. Not because the apps themselves suck, but because they have to fill them chock full of ads.
Exactly.
Click a button to take a picture of something to turn it into a model and then watch a 2-minute ad, because the developer quite literally needs to put ads in the product to even make it viable. And I think Apple's completely overlooking that. Like, if you want your like selection of apps to be healthy, strong, and good,
even if they're adding ads, they're taking 30% of that anyway.
Yeah,
so they just need to add more to make up for that.
Exactly, it's a never-ending, redundant cycle of frustration. And I like making apps that don't have ads in them, and I like making a little bit of money. So if they could figure out something where it's a bit more fair, even like we could use Steam as an example, though they take a lot too. Steam has made it very abundantly obvious that you don't need to take that much to make a lot of money. And so if Apple could just maybe tone it down a little bit.
A little while ago, they were doing some pretty bad stuff on Steam, but we'll save that for another conversation.
That is a whole nother podcast. So before I close us off, I do want to bring up some of our custom PC options that you can see for yourself at GameReadyTech.com. The one that we're selling right now that we're just coming out with recently is our Ghost Rider Mark II. We mentioned it last podcast, but if you're looking for a PC for esports titles and gaming up to 1080p widescreen, we'll say, is what we tested it on.
Yeah.
You're looking for our PC. Check it out on the website. We're selling it for $799, and that's about it. Yeah. Thank you so much for watching. If you would like to view the other podcasts we've produced so far, you can check our YouTube. We're also on iHeartRadio, Spotify Playlists, and Apple Podcasts as well. And it's with Spotify Podcasts. I misspoke. If you'd like to join our Discord, we have a link for that on the website. You can preview it before you join if you would like to. And we will see you next episode. All right, take care. Bye-bye.